You order a buttery nipple, bitch. That is a gay drink.
This is my favorite drink. Okay.
I know.
Welcome to another Latino with a podcast. I'm the Latino with a podcast, and today I'm with the Queenie Bitch. That's legal name.
I wish it was my legal name.
It is your legal name. I was just telling, like, one of the first time I saw you was in a show doing In Kale My Name. That was an amazing show. And I remember it was one of the first person that I saw. I was like, I can do better than this bitch. And
yeah. Still chasing that dream,
still chasing that dream. No, but I was like, I want to be doing this. And I was like, okay, I need to do it in English. I need to start again to like work my shit and get back again. And I believe that show, I went with my girlfriend that is not my girlfriend anymore. And
say her name,
Valerie Mejia.
Full name and street address.
But I don't know her full address because she moved with
He's
her.
He's really not good at stalking
because
people.
She moved.
It's been a problem
with her current husband. So. So that's why I don't talk anymore. Like, I broke the first marriage. The second one is safe.
That's hers. That's hers to do.
But for how long? I don't know you have been doing stand-up.
Let's see. November 11th is my 5-year comedy anniversary.
Are you going to do something? A show, a special, an album?
No, I have nothing planned.
A notebook.
I'm just going to keep going, doing what I'm doing, and just hope that maybe an agent will show up. I don't know.
The agents will not show. You have to chase them. But I want this story because you have a joke that I love that is like when you went to a place that was like white folks, like Cracker Barrel style.
Oh, God.
And the joke is that
I wish it was Cracker Barrel. It was worse than that.
I love the joke because you're like, I got to fake that I don't know what I'm not gonna do, and you end up confusing them more.
Originally that piece is about me going to Coleman, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So Ariel and Bob, two comics in the Chicago scene, some of my closest friends, booked me to do this show. I literally didn't ask any follow-up questions. She's just like, do you want to go and do a show in northern Wisconsin? That's all she said. And I said, yes. She said, this is the date. I said, okay.
You were headlining, right?
No, she was headlining.
Okay.
But I didn't ask anything. And then we get into the car. And she says she said it at the venue. I'm almost positive she said it when I got into the car. Because I remember I had to start preparing for myself, because at this point I hadn't been doing just straight comedy. I had just released an album, so I was doing a lot of like variety stuff. So I was doing a lot where I would have like a 15 to 20 minute set, but I would have like 3 songs mixed into it, so I wasn't doing like a lot of long like stand-up sets.
Beautiful voice for singing. I forgot about that.
Thank you.
We're gonna do a song at the end of the episode.
yeah that's
a little beautiful song.
I haven't prepared anything. But so I'm like, I haven't been doing like a lot of just straight stand up in a while. And so we get in there and she tells me, she's like, look, it's Coleman, Wisconsin. I'm like, ooh, never heard of that before. And like, population's like really low. I think it's like 750 people. It's probably mostly white. I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty Trumpy, but like, it'll be fine. It's the first day of
your
hunting
makeup
season,
is on point.
So we'll see what the turnout's like. I'm like, okay. And she's like, oh, and you're opening and we're going to need you to do 30. And I'm like,
that's why I thought you were headlining.
Right, right. So she did 45. So Ariel was headlining. So both me and Bob did 30. And I'm like, okay, cool. Walk it. And so now I'm going through my entire Rolodex of work, trying to like remind myself of all these bits that I stopped using because I hadn't been doing just stand up in a while.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was rusty. So I'm sitting here like, oh, crap. And then I walk in, and I truly do. Everyone stops and stares. And I'm just like, Okay.
But you felt the minds were like, what the fuck? You know?
They didn't know what the hell happened. Like, a lot of them were like families that were about to leave because they weren't there for the show. They knew the show was happening.
Have you seen this video that is, it went famous in the internet like years ago, that is like, a guy is like, oh, I like your house. I want it. And then he's like, no, get the fuck out of my house. And one, I don't know how he identifies or she identifies, but it's like a guy with long hair, but beard. And he's like, that is chill. And he's like, what the fuck is even that? I believe that was like the people sitting like,
oh, yeah.
What is this?
No, every time. And I make the joke that I like every time I look up, I got to watch 8 people break eye contact like I was playing a game. And it really was a thing. Every time I looked up, there was someone who was just like, and it was just, and then someone asked me for what drink I wanted. And I was thinking, it was like I was going to order a gay drink, but I was just like, no, I was going to order a beer, but now I felt like I had to.
There's nothing as gay drinks.
There's a gay drink. No, if you order a buttery nipple, bitch, that is a gay drink.
That's my favorite drink. Okay.
I know. This is an intervention.
The episode is like coming out of the closet with Christian and his major. Yeah. I'm the man.
There you go.
What is that drink? What does he have?
A buttery nipple? I don't remember. It's something.
You just like the name.
Yeah, it's just a good name.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were going to order a buttery.
Yeah, no,
nipple.
I was ordering a beer and I was just like, well, now I have to order a beer or else they're going to be looking at me like this queer. So I go up and then the guy who was opening the show, like the host of the situation, you could tell he was a local who, like, this is his only stage time is when this show happens. So he's not, like, a host.
Okay.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Entertainer.
Right. Like, he's barely that. And so he's just going on about, like, Trump, crazy, right? And then Biden, crazy, right? What's going on with the world? Oh, my God. I don't know what's happening. Isn't everything crazy? Anyway, Queenie.
He didn't say bitch.
Oh, I was just like, and I walk up, I was just like, hi, everyone. and then weirdly, the set went very well. Like, they actually really
liked
me.
Because you're very funny.
Right, well, you know. And then I go up, and everyone likes me. Afterwards, all the people who are, like, breaking eye contact are, like, giving me the thumbs up and everything.
From far?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, good job. Like, trying to make eye contact with me to tell me good job. Someone buys me a drink at the bar. They were trying to come up and party with us afterwards. It was a great night. But then Ariel comes to me at a certain point and is like, wow. You didn't change anything for this group. You didn't take anything out. You didn't cut anything. It's like, I needed my whole portfolio for this. I couldn't have the ability to cancel, to take anything out. I was just lucky that everything worked. So it didn't look like I had to.
But have it happened that you're performing? Okay, this day was amazing. But has it happened that you're performing and someone is like, not this shit, or being like really heckly about you?
It happened recently at Zany's, but they weren't at me. It was actually at Pat Bolduc, which was weird because he did well on that roast. We were doing a roast and for Roast Battle, and it was just people who were like overly drunk. And I think they think like when you're roasting me and I'm in like full regalia, they think they're standing up for me. And I'm just like, I know him. I don't know you. Yeah. Like, I agreed to do this. I know he was going to be mean to me. That was the point.
there are some people that they see Rose Battle. Like, I have a Rose Battle against Zoe Dodson, who is amazing. Mm-hmm. She won 5-0 because her jokes were phenomenal. But I believe I did have some reactions that the jokes were funny. But since it was against a woman, instead of, like, laughter, I got like, oh.
Yeah, you get a weird situation. Like, me against another woman is fine.
Okay.
For whatever reason, they're fine with that. But if anyone calls me she on anything and any joke, they're fine in the room. Okay. But middle America sees the clip and loses their goddamn mind. And they're just like, the half dude lost. And I'm sitting there just like, I'm just like a person. I'm not like actually trans. I don't know why. Like, I'm just showing up on stage.
But with Zoe Dodson, I remember like one of the jokes I have, it was like, it was really mean. But it was like if NASA could only see Soy's chest from space, they would be like, yeah, there is flat. And people were like, don't do that. Like, no. Mm-hmm. But I know they wanted to laugh, but they were like, nope.
Well, it's like
this
a weird...
is a little more step of out of the
like
line.
They want to do the whole like, oh well, you can't make a joke about that. It's like, well, then what can I joke about? If I can't hit the identity or appearance, then like, yeah, what's left? Like, what do you want me to do? Like, that I was booked to be mean, yeah, and this person knew that I was supposed to be mean for this.
Yeah, but I believe for the audience, if you go against minorities,
yeah,
the audience instinctively go like,
well, it's your fault for being so light skinned.
Yeah,
you know, they're like Henningsmeyer, white guy.
I have said this. My problem is like Spanish, this is like the second, third time I said it on the podcast. But Japanese to English sounds charming. That's Fujiko. Everything she says sounds super charming. It's like we love her. Russian to English, everything they say sounds funny. Because of the accent. But I believe because of the Mexicans and all the Latinos, they're like, their English is kind of close to being right, but it's not right. The pronunciation is not good. The feeling of people like watching is like, no, pronounce it right. Like, yeah. I know you can. We know you can pronounce it right. Just fucking do it the right way.
You were so close.
It's not like, oh, nice accent. Like, he's really trying. Yeah. It's like, no, do it the right way. Mm-hmm. If you're in this country, I'm like, okay, I'm really trying to say squirrel, but I can, okay? Like, I'm really trying. For a long time, like, the Y, we pronounce it like J. It's like a J sound. Mm-hmm. So, yellow, and then people are like we don't know what the fuck you're saying. The gelatin, it's like, no, the color, like, oh, yellow.
My favorite is when they text it, though, is like when they actually text instead of ha ha ha, it's ja ja ja. Like,
yeah, okay. For us, that J is ha.
I know.
It's ja 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 ja. I've been laughing like with the age with my friends in Spanish, and they're like so disappointed. It's like,
that's,
we lost
not
you.
How we say
that's not how we laugh.
Yeah.
In Spanish, you will read it as ah. That's how we laugh. Okay, I have a few topics to talk about.
Okay.
One of it is, and I believe soon we're gonna do a pause, but I believe this is a nice intro before the pause. Lately, I've been seeing like a lot of this happening. And what do you do for work?
I'm a makeup artist.
Perfect, makeup artist. Mm-hmm. But in a company or by yourself, it's like...
In a company.
Well, they have been saying, and I agree completely, that you have to be decent to mediocre in your work. Because at the moment that you're doing your best and you're like really thriving and really doing good,
yeah,
you're fucked up. Like, you're going to get more jobs. You're the important person of the company. And it's like,
that's the thing that I deal with now is like I'm good at what I do. So now, because I work into like a retail makeup and skincare, and so now if there's anyone who's like out of town or whatever it is, then I'm over there now. And they keep saying, it's like, well, you know, it's because you're good. It's like, I know, I'm going to start mismatching people on foundations. I'm just going to have people walking out all orange and shit and just be like, oops, I don't know. I thought it was a good match.
And then you're going to have more day off.
So I can stay where I want to be.
No, yeah. And if someone quits, immediately it's like, Queenie is good enough. She can take both works
that position
without the money, right? Yeah. Like, no problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can you be MOD for today? Am I getting paid anymore? Of course not.
So, like, I work I used to work in kitchens, like, as a cook, because obviously I'm illegal immigrant. Actually, I'm not illegal, so. But I used to
call ICE, though.
They will come here. I'll show them my papers. They were like, fuck.
Damn, someone wasted our time.
Not again. They take you for some reason, like that.
They'll be like, I don't know where you go, but it's not here.
It's not in a basement of Venezuela, and we're saving you for some reason. I work as a cook, and I realized that the more efficient you are as a cook, the more work you have, same pay. Is it?
Oh, yeah.
So I just start being slower for... Just to not get extra loads of work.
I learned that at my first job when I was at Portillo's. So I was in the service industry before this for like 16 years. And that was like my main thing. I miss pieces of it. You know, I remember, okay. I mean, I'm like, I miss the culture of it. You know, like there is the, I was in fine dining, so there was a lot of, like, there's a lot of like art to it. You know, like it was a higher level than just, it wasn't just like Olive Garden, here's your shit. You know, so like there was a theater to it. There was a lot of tools that you had to, like, if someone was angry, you had the tools to shut them up by just impressing them.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a lot of cool things to it. It was also a grind, you know, so it was just there's a certain point where I'm like, I don't love this like I used to. And it's like, it's starting to grate at me.
I believe you start hating it exactly the moment that you become the important person of the company.
Oh, no, that didn't happen, unfortunately. I was a manager for like 6 years. Like there was as I started getting, the thing for me was I realized I didn't want that next job. Right. Like I was at the Waldorf managing the restaurant that was there before the pandemic. And I saw what my assistant general manager and what my general manager, what their jobs were. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. Because it took me away from the service floor. And that was the only thing I really wanted to do.
Okay.
And then I realized, like, well, I can't just be like a floor dog for the next, like, what, 40 years? Eventually, my body's going to give out.
This is the thing. I believe the work environment has been so shitty lately that escalating in positions that was something really wanted, like, before. Because I believe the promotion and the extra money before was worth it. Now it's like, oh, instead of 20, you're going to make 25 an hour. It's like that $5 is like...
Well, and then also, and especially like in restaurants, you don't... Like in retail, I feel like if you get a promotion, you actually do get more money. It may not be enough more money, but you do get more money. In restaurants, you get a promotion up to management, you lose a lot of money.
Because you don't get tips anymore.
Right. So, like, in the summer, when you're... So, like, your server is maybe making, like, $100,000 a year. Well, your starting salary is 50. So, you're literally... you're working twice as much as them. You're just, like, you have all the stress. You don't really get days off. You're on a salary.
Yeah, you're the holidays, person.
They can just work you. And then, really, you're making McDonald's money.
Yeah, and you're the person who manage problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a problem, and it's like, this is not my shit.
Yeah, they just get to clock out. They just get to go, like, hey, can you, I'm going to, you know, and then they're out of it.
Table 24 pull out a gun. Can you manage your life?
Yeah, can you go manage that?
Like, I'm not okay. A manager.
It was a high caliber. I don't feel safe. I'm gonna go drink some coffee in the back. Bye.
Okay. We're gonna make a pause. We're gonna find out who pulled out the gun. Probably a Trumpist, but we're gonna be back in a moment.
It was.
And we are back. It was a Trumpist. It was a high caliber, but he was just showing off, so it's
by
okay.
By a Trumpist, we mean someone who plays the trumpet.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Of the brass instruments, they are always the most violent and unhinged. Everyone knows that.
I like that. I'm a Trumpist, and people just start hating the person. It's like, and with his trumpet. Like,
yeah, all the trumpet players are just like, I'm a trumper, but not that. I don't like him.
It's not what you think. Let me explain.
No, I just really like Berlioz and Beethoven.
But going, because do you think it's going to reverse at some point, that at some point it's going to be like people will want to escalate in management positions again? Because I truly believe, like, how we're raising the next generation, everybody's like, I'm going to do the less I can do and live my life.
Well, that's because
we're dying.
There aren't as much, like, I feel like the wages were better before, right? Because they were mostly the same, but cost of living was much lower.
And you have, like, so the loyalty in a company give you, like, nice bonuses and nice retirement plans.
Well, yeah, and people used to stay in companies longer because there was actually benefit to doing so. You had pensions, and you had, like, you had guaranteed retirement. You had guaranteed, you would start making money. You would have raises every year. You know, there was a lot of compensation benefits that went towards the worker. Now it's mostly an investor economy. So it's just like, what is the point of us working harder? Like, I had that issue at the Waldorf. There's a certain point where I was sitting there just like, we are all scraping by. but these investors are getting their money back, but they just like show up and make our lives hell for a day and they walk away and go on to their next investment.
But I don't know if this has happened or do you have friends that this has happened?
I don't have friends.
You don't have friends. Okay. No. But I don't know if you know people that are not your friends that this has happened. I have one friend that he was making like 110, one like 25 with bonuses yearly, which is a really nice salary. But the amount of stress he was getting was so much that when you're in high-paying jobs, it's like you manage a lot of stress. There's like emails at like 11 p.m.
Yeah.
And he was managing projects that were like, hey, this is a $2 million project. If you fucked up, we lose $2 million. So he got so much stress that he started having like a sickness and his kidneys were failing. And he was like, this is enough.
Yeah.
He quit and now he's like in the rover, like the thing to take care of dogs and he's a lot happier now, making a lot less money.
Yeah.
But I believe that's where we're going. Like really high paying jobs, the amount of stress you gotta deal is like stupid.
Well, and it's also there's so few of those left. The idea that you're gonna go and get those is just kind of like a, you know what, I'll just be over here. You know, like it's just. And I think some of it also just had to do with the pandemic. After the pandemic happened, a lot of companies kind of outed themselves on what their real values were.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have a lot of, it was like, we really believe in investing in our employees. You can work with COVID and just not tell anybody though, right? You know?
We really believe that we care, we take consideration about you being comfortable, but you gotta come to office. Like, what is your fucking problem?
Also, we haven't really been paying into unemployment this whole time, so you're not going to be getting the extended checks.
Yeah, and since you're working from home, you're not in the company, so now you're at 1099, just letting you know, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, I know it rocked the service industry. Like, people ask me for like, hey, do you know anyone? Because I'm trying to get into a fine dining. Do you know anyone? Because I know I worked in it for years, and unfortunately, most of my people retired.
Yeah, after they fucking,
you know, they, after that, they just didn't come back. They found some other job and they're like, no, actually, this is fine. And it like it broke this fever dream of just like everything's worth it and the company's going to make it worth my while later.
No.
And then after that, there was this there's a very well-known restaurant group in Chicago, one of the top restaurant groups in Chicago. And they have this.
I think I know which one it is.
Yeah. So they have three restaurants in the same corner and they share a kitchen down below. They share a prep kitchen and that's where everyone has like their family meal together. One person from one of those three restaurants got COVID. And so they only shut down the restaurant that that person worked at back when we still had the 14 days you have to close. And everyone who knew about the restaurant was, and it was like, but they're all connected. Why are the other two still open? They're like, I don't know, but don't say anything.
They're not connected on top.
Yeah. And there was just another one where there was one of the managers caught COVID and they literally just said, just keep wearing a mask and don't tell anyone. But it got out within the industry. Like, they didn't get out into the media, but, like, the industry people, they found out. And they're like, oh, okay. It was weird.
COVID was such a weird moment. I got quietly fired because I was not like the important one because I'm not a troublemaker, but like if you overstep on things, like I'm not like, oh yeah, well I'll just do it. No, I'm like, this is not good. This is not okay. So I started getting.
So you're a communist.
I'm a communist. No, they are a communist. They want me to do like multiple jobs without telling me. They're like, you know, the dishwasher, he couldn't make it today, so you have to do it.
Oh, no, that's capitalism, baby.
But I knew the dishwasher, so I text him. It's like, hey, are you okay? Like, what happened? It's like, yeah, they just didn't call me today. And I was like, these motherfuckers. And then I was like, yeah, this is not my job. Like I'm not going to do this. And when COVID hit and they closed all the restaurants, they were like, yeah, we're just doing deliveries, but we're going to call you as soon, like, immediately, as soon as we open, we're going to call you back. Obviously, they never grow me again. It's like, fuck them. And I spent 6 months without a job. Cool.
He got what he deserved.
No, no, no.
Yeah, he didn't even want to wash the dishes. Talk about ego. Am I right?
Actually, I had the conversation with the owner. Was like, what is the problem? You told me you could wash the dishes. And I'm like, yeah.
I know how to wash the dishes. Yeah,
if we have a problem. If we have a problem, I'll do it. If I needed to help with the dishes, that doesn't mean I am the dishwasher now. Like, what the fuck? But the industry was like fucked up. And this connects, like, because I believe this conversation is like, sometimes the podcast is funnier. Like, I have Botkin. With Botkin, we talk about transphobic babies. Love transphobic babies. But sometimes, like, more political, more, like, deep. And I believe this is going to go a little bit on that way, because I don't know if you saw the comments of the Joe Rogan with Trump on YouTube. Not the video per se, but the comments.
Yeah.
All the comments were, like, I believe... like now, a podcast or like content like being made by individuals are more important than the news, because like their intake was like, I believe this is more real than what I'm seeing on the news.
Yeah.
So what I put is like, do you believe that the media is so corrupt and so like guided by whoever that it's better to watch news on other channels like, it's a double-edged sword, because if you get informed in TikTok, sometimes you get informed with just, like, misinformation.
For sure. I mean, I think, look, it's hard, because it depends on what we're talking about. You need to, the thing for me is you need to, it's always follow the money, right? Every situation, it's follow the money. Now, if like CNN or NBC have an invested stake in a thing, right? The idea that they are going to report unbiasedly on that thing these days, I don't think that's going to happen. Now, I don't think they'll necessarily give you something that's completely factually incorrect, but they will rob you of context.
Yeah, right. They manipulated. Like, there was one that when Trump said that we're going political. But this is, I don't want to talk about the election. It's just like the example. Mm-hmm. He said that he's gonna cut taxes on tips, and everybody was like, you're gonna fuck up the economy because that's like $16 billion that will not go to the Social Security, and they like cheat on him. Recently, apparently, Kamala was like, yeah, I'm going to cut the tick some tax. And says, she's a fucking hero. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the person with the servants. Like, it was the same, like, law and
but
different reaction.
But I think we also know that Trump is not going to be measured and well thought out in the way that he is going to cut taxes on tips.
Yeah, no.
You know, I don't think he has a plan to recoup that money in other policies. Whereas Kamala does, you know, and it's the classic thing that they do when they're talking to progressives is like, they're just like, well, she never said how she's going to pay for it. When you look at the interview, they said 5 times how they're going to pay for it. But then they leave and it's like, well, I guess we don't have an answer. Like, she answered every single question and it's on her website. It's on,
but people see TikToks.
Yeah.
And people see reels. And it's like, in this one minute, they skip a lot of information.
No, but it's not even them. It's literally when they're getting interviewed by the person. Like, they'll be on with Jake Tapper and he'll be the entire time, so we're not going to tell us how you're going to pay for it. Like, bitch, I answered your question 5 times on this interview. Like, I told you the answer.
I like Kamala being like this.
Right. Oh, my God. You can tell. I mean, they did it with Bernie. They did it with him. They started comparing him to Hitler and are just like, his whole family was almost wiped out by the Holocaust. What are you doing? And they try to call him anti-Semitic. Like, he's Jewish. What are you doing? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And they're wondering why then we ended up with Biden, who's just this, like, doddering old man. It's like, well, because you made the other guy look like he was crazy. And now you're in this situation. And they're just like, at the end of the day, the issue that we came up with is It was initially the Tea Party movement, right? The Tea Party was originally supposed to be this kind of left-wing idea that we were going to make a progressive wing within the Democratic Party. Then the Koch brothers came in, bought it all up, and then essentially turned into an extreme right-wing situation. And the whole thing was just hitting on any fact that the Democratic Party brings up, right? They just keep hitting it. And then all of a sudden, you have a candidate like Trump who isn't smart enough or nuanced enough to realize they weren't actually serious about most of the stuff they were saying, right? They were trying to fearmonger and bring up stuff just so they can kind of undermine this guy, but they weren't actually planning on cutting taxes in the way that he was cutting them. They weren't planning on actually doing the immigration policies the way that Trump ended up doing it. It was just propaganda.
Yeah, they're like, we create the monster.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, then they lost complete control of the party, and now they're all enslaved to him. You know, so it's just like, it's a scary situation. And then from there, him then birthing the alt-right, now you have an entire group of the country who just doesn't believe facts anymore.
Yeah, I believe now there's like, I always tell, like, I would love to be able to meet in the middle, because there's the stream on both parts are so, like, doesn't make sense. Like, both sides, both streams, they don't hear facts. You can tell them, like, no, this happened. Yeah. This is the information.
Well, and then, like, also, there is a contrast between the two sides. I feel like the one side is like, hey, I don't necessarily trust CNN,
okay,
but at the same time, I understand that the world is round. You know? And then you have the
flat.
Other side that is literally just like that. I don't trust anything unless I see it with my eyes. And it's like, so what's the win to you? Like, it's just like there is a group that is just so divorced from facts that they will actually see a video of Trump saying something and then deny it happened. You know, they're like, oh, it's a deep fake. Okay, what about the 100,000 people that saw it? In, like, he keeps talking about his crowd size. There's a lot of people there.
This is the thing. I believe that from now on that the AI is getting so good. Like, not in this case in particular, but we're going to start seeing a lot of those.
Well, that's the scary deepfakes. That's going to keep happening. And then now that it started happening, they'll just be like, oh, that's just what they want you to believe. It's like that he said it with his words. And they're like, well, you can't prove it because I wasn't there. Like, well, that's not my fault that you weren't there.
But I believe the internet was the place we trusted for information, and now it's going to be so overflown of misinformation that the trust is going to be like,
it's gotten worse from online stuff, because you have the fake podcast people who are literally just like an individual entity who will get a microphone like this. Some of you even have another person on the other end, which I'm just like, if you have the other person, just do a podcast. Now you're just talking. Just do an actual podcast. But they'll do like the red velvet background so it looks like they're on Joe Rogan's podcast. And everyone's like, oh, he's legit. Then you find out it wasn't real. And you'll have like all this. And then now AI is taking the faces and voices of influencers. And and the influencer's like, I didn't say that. But they have a video of me saying it, but I didn't say it. And they're like, well, there's no law on this yet.
Yeah, no, and this is like, we're scratching the surface, because these, like, the deepfakes are like from 20 years ago, but it was someone who was really good at it, like hacking one video and like putting knots and actually changing the vibe, like kind of manually. Now people can put a prompt, but if people can put a prompt and that shows up, imagine what these hackers from 20 years ago can do now.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, these days, I feel like we can still, to the discerning eye, we can still look and see that an AI thing is not real. You know, like, I can look at a picture and just be like, the lighting is a little too perfect.
But have you been looking at the hands? They got really better with the hands.
Yeah, but my thing is, in 5 years, I think they might learn realism. Like, might learn actual realism. You know, like, now it's like a little too picturesque, and I look at something like, that's not a real photo. And then you find out it was AI. And then, but I think in like 5 years from now, maybe even less, you're going to be looking at things and you're like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I see the background. So if you see a fucked up face in the background, it's like, okay, AI. But I believe in 5 years, they're going to learn, like, we need to do a good job in the background.
We need to write some laws. We need to start doing some stuff.
We just got super political. Like, hey, listen to us. We need to write some laws about this. Mm-hmm. We need to regulate the media.
Yeah, we need to go to Schoolhouse Rock and remember that first you propose the bill, then the bill becomes the law.
There you go. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is that.
You don't know what Schoolhouse Rock is. That's because you weren't born in the 90s. I don't know. What is
it? I was born in the 90s, but in a country
born here. That was big. It was big. It was on TV here.
I watched
how everyone learned math and what a verb was and how to conjugate a verb.
I saw Plaza Sésamo, and then in Spanish, and then I learned. From that.
See, I know nothing about what you just said. So Sesame Street. We should just end this. I don't know him.
Actually, we're going to end it because we're on 34 minutes. So that was perfect. But again, we're going to do the bonus content. I believe the bonus content will be good. I have a topic.
We can talk about that. And also we can talk about, you know, other stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on, bro.
No. That's
no.
I have one.
No one cares about your topic. Bye.